Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, and I just have one phrase to say, and it is Coca-Cola mashita. I love it.
Yes, as a Coca-Cola addict, I am here for it. I love it.
Yesterday, I had Korean fried chicken from Barbecue Chicken.
I did too!
I know, I saw your Instagram. And when you eat fried chicken, you just want like a little bit of carbonated sweetness, you know? The little Coca-Cola mashita. And literally every time I took a bite, I was like, Coca-Cola mashita. It's so good. I think, when I initially heard this song, I thought it was so bad because of those lyrics. But if you just take the song as a whole, and even if you change the words Coca-Cola mashita, like, the song is a bop.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. I'm not anti-New Jeans, I'm just anti-soda. So, no opinion from me. All right, Chris.
Hey everyone, it's Chris. Yoongi's singing voice just sends me every single time. Like, his singing voice, we'll get into it later, so I know. Very, very short intro, because I want to get into it later.
Yeah, so good.
And hello everyone, it's Gabe. I would just like to say, so first off, I have not been convinced to drink Coca-Cola, unlike the rest of us.
Not me.
And secondly, I don't know if you've seen, but there is a new trailer that Mnet dropped for a survival show that's coming up called Queendom Puzzle. Mm. And the seven silhouettes, I like tried to go through frame by frame to kind of see who the girls were based on their silhouettes, but it was too hard to tell. But I feel like based on the songs that they kind of name dropped throughout the trailer, we might get a clue from those. So.
What were the songs?
There was like Tomboy. By G Idol, Nonstop from Oh My Girl. I think there was a WJSN song. Yeah, Kill This Love.
Yeah,
it was just like popular girl group songs. It wasn't, I don't think it was like anything in particular, but.
Yeah, it was just kind of like a mashup.
Interesting. Yeah.
So only time will tell. Okay, Gabe, if you're going to make one prediction on who's going to be on Queendom Puzzle, who's it going to be?
I think there's going to be a Kepler girl, and I think there's going to be a Cosmic Girls girl. And then I think we're going to get one like really new goo person, maybe like from Fromis 9 or something.
Oh, some of the comments are saying Cherry Bullet.
Ooh.
That's a good one though for that ranking.
Yeah. They just finished promotions of their latest comeback, I think, like a couple weeks ago. So this would be good timing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks to our listeners for tuning into this episode. We're in it for another K-Bops episode, and Chris is going to start us off today.
Yes. So, the minute that I saw this Instagram post and I just saw who it was with, I got so excited. And I even like, because the name was in Korean and, you know, I have very elementary toddler Korean. So I like even double checked with my husband. I was like, this is IU, right? And I'm like, IU. So I am very excited for this rec. And this is a second collaboration between these two very special people. And so my rec for today will be Saram by Suga featuring IU. All So Saddam in Korean is translated to people. So this is a follow-up to his second August D album that had Digita. So this is People Part 2. And the Part 1 is also kind of very mellow. But this one, it's kind of interesting because Yoongi says that he wrote it during the pandemic, like when we initially locked down. If you watch the music video, the music video pauses for like 5 seconds. And then he goes in and he starts explaining, like, I wrote all this, like, this is what I was feeling during the pandemic. And so, just essentially, this is how I'm feeling. And he does so good with female voices. Like, mm-hmm. He just knows how to work with it. He knows how to place them. Like, he always does such a fantastic job with female voices. And so, this is actually their second time that him and IU have collabed. The first time was for IU's song 8. Was that the name of it? Yeah, right? But this is for sure more so August D style. At first, there's this part in like the bridge, the chorus, where he sings, and it almost didn't sound like him. Like, I almost thought that he brought in another member, and it wasn't until I saw the video with IU where he went on IU's palette, her like video series, and it's actually him singing. And so that was like pretty interesting because I was almost certain that he brought on Namjoon or like someone else to help with that bridge chorus part. But no, it's actually him. I'm trying to find it real quick. Hold on. I had it pulled it up.
So was the vibe of people on the previous album the same as this one or was it different?
It's almost the same. It's like, I think the addition of IU just makes it more melodic. It makes it more melodic than the previous people is just him, and it's still like kind of the same tempo of him rapping and singing and all that, but this one for sure has more of a sweet tune to it with IU being on it. And so I pulled up Genius to try to see how I can explain what this song means. And so they actually summarized it pretty well. They wrote, August D contemplates the give and take of loneliness and loves, both describing its conditionality and its frailty, as well as how people deal with the loneliness that follows its loss. So it's very deep. Verses, they're very deep in lyrics, as you can expect from Suga. It's almost a little scary because you kind of forget that. Remember, there was a point during Idol, like between Idol and DNA, where we were constantly like, is he okay? Like, and he would even say, like, mentally he was going through a hard time. So you kind of see that reflected in these lyrics, and it's a little scary, but then it's also like, maybe this is just his outlet to get those out. His feels out of the way. What else was I gonna say? My favorite part of the video was him and the dog at the end. I love that ending like scene of just him and the doggy and petting the doggy. I think that's all I have. I'm just very excited. I think this is a beautiful song, beautiful collaboration.
Yeah. I think it's funny how August D has like two personas, you know, like fuck you, Deshita. And then also like introspective, like deep Yoongi.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's really good. The music video is so simple. It was like him stroking the water barefoot next to the pool, you know, him in the recording studio, like editing the track.
Now
I get it. Now it was like so peaceful because it's literally him during quarantine, like.
And him alone.
Not doing anything.
Yeah. I just remembered one more thing that I wanted to point out. IU, also, her entire verse is in English, which is something I didn't really expect. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not saying that she did a terrible job or anything like that. I just didn't really expect her to sing fully in English.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. This was like a prelude to his album, right?
Yeah, he has a third album, I think. I think it's considered the third album, coming out the 27th, I think.
Wow, ahead of his tour?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Ahead of his tour. So I'm wondering if
that's
his
great
tour...
timing. I mean, I'm sure he did that on purpose.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's going to perform these songs at his tour, which I'm thinking...
Oh, for sure!
Oh, it says that his 10-song album is due out on April 21st with the title track D-Day.
Oh, okay. Okay, so... Yeah, so then 21st... I said the 27th, huh?
Just like 1 week earlier.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, and he's out here. When does this tour officially start? I know he's out here May 10th in LA.
Oh, so wow.
Really soon.
Yeah.
Wow. And he has the Disney Plus special coming out. They're like, what? they each have their own special coming out. It's so funny. J-Hope had one, and he's going to have one about this tour.
Wait. J-Hope had a Disney Plus special?
Mm-hmm. If you go on Disney Plus, about I think his Lollapalooza performance.
Oh.
And just like a documentary style special.
Okay.
So
I would love a little Disney Plus Jungkook Calvin Klein behind the scenes.
I don't know if that can go on Disney Plus. Miss. But yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. Maybe on an MTV or something.
Yeah.
I have to check that out. I didn't even know that existed.
Yoongi's is going to come out, I think, also right by his album release. Let me double check. He released the timeline of everything. April 21st, too. Road to D-Day documentary.
That makes sense as part of his album promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting album promotion strategy, actually. Have like long form kind of like documentary type stuff.
When you're promoting, you just kind of do everything, right? Like you throw everything during like a two week time period or 3 weeks or however long.
Yeah, I also feel like they must have like some special deal going on with Disney too, because Disney doesn't release any other K-pop stuff. It's just been purely BTS. I think there's one K-drama on there on the English side, on the US side. Yeah, on the US side of Disney. And that's, what was it, Snowdrop? And everything else is just like BTS content.
You know, I think you're right, because I even remember... Was it the New Year's special with Ryan Seacrest? Mm-hmm. They performed at Disney. It was TXT, and they performed at Disneyland.
Land, yeah.
And then J-Hope performed at the Ball Drop. And I think, I don't remember what company, but I think it was like an NBC Universal production, which is like a Disney affiliate, I think, or like a Disney subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something bigger happening there with like Disney and BTS.
Oh, yeah.
Probably,
I 100%.
Because any other streaming platform would be quick to sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Netflix.
That content.
Netflix has the Blackpink documentary.
Meh.
Oh, that should have been my intro. Wow. I'm going to see them this weekend. As of this recording.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, sorry.
Hello, yeah.
Anyways, back to August D. Actually, kind of trailing into August D, Casey kind of mentioned this when she guested on the last episode. that J-Hope is either leaving for the military very soon, or he's going to perform with Becky G at Coachella. So, I will let y'all know if J-Hope randomly shows up.
Yeah, that would be so cool. I
think that he's going to go.
I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't he have like shorter hair now? Like,
yeah, he has shorter hair now.
Like
Nathan.
Like Sages rather than Dio, like.
I know.
But maybe he cut his hair to deal with the California hot weather, desert weather.
That's true.
No.
I'm going to be a DeLulu stan.
It's possible.
So yeah.
All right. Yes. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to his 10-song album, and I thought it was fun. Good release. I was just thinking, like, I did like 8 a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel like that was, like, song of the year. Like, could have been, like,
it was more upbeat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, a summer vibes, like, pull down your moonroof and...
Mm-hmm.
Drive down the PCH.
Yeah, drive down the PCH. I really liked it.
Sunroof?
Oh, is that moonroof?
I didn't even think about it.
I still
wrong celestial being. Okay. Thank you, Gabe. I guess I like that vibe a little bit better, but then I guess it's different because this one is Suga song featuring IU, and the other was IU song featuring Suga.
That's
Suga.
A good point.
And I guess I trend more towards listening to IU, so. But yeah. Anyways, I think that it sweetens up the August D side, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you, Chris, for that recommendation. We'll go to Ashley.
Yes. So my recommendation was released on March 13th, and it is the lead single off Kai's album with the same title, and the song I'm recommending is Rover. So, Rover is a sleeper hit. And when I first heard it, I thought this song is trash. Don't play it around me. I even told Nathan 2 weeks ago, like, don't recommend this song on the podcast. It's bad. I literally told him, like, I don't want to.
At that point, I had agreed with her.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I'm being honest.
2 weeks later, here I am saying that it's a bop, just like every other SM song, like, that is controversial. So this song is it's about a guy, Kai, calling himself Rover. He's like, I'm not Mr. Rover, I'm just Rover. And the meaning behind Rover Rover describes a person who spends their time wandering. So like a nomad. In the music video, it shows him going through different scenes of him like pursuing his dreams of becoming a performer. So he's taking on different performer personalities. Like he starts off in at a wig shop. He's like combing through the wigs, you know, like all these random things that he just choreo. He hits it. Rover, Rover, Rover. It's so good.
Okay. It's so good.
It's so good. And then he goes to like a theater where he's performing on stage with ballerinas, which you guys probably don't remember, but like Kai is classically trained, and it's probably like a callback to his ballet training. But yeah, the song is interesting because it was interpolated by a song with the same name from a Hungarian artist, or no, Bulgarian artist named Dara. I'll link the song in the description, but I just want to let you guys hear what this sounds like. It's literally the same exact song.
I was gonna say, it's literally the exact same.
But the company bought all the rights to it.
Yeah, the company bought the rights.
SM bought all the rights to it.
Right, so you guys will hear it. I've shared with audio. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the same.
You know what's also interesting? Hold on, I'll let us listen.
Where is it? Come in.
It's coming up.
It's literally the same.
You know what's also interesting is that her outfit is the same as the album art for this song.
Hmm.
It's like
same
pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. This song released by Dara was only released last year. So maybe because there isn't much time between her release and Kai's release, the trends are the same. And because the song has like literally the exact beat, like maybe it's just like conceptually makes sense, you know? But yeah, SM purchased the rights to the song and then like changed it up an octave or down an octave, changed the lyrics.
Voice.
Yeah, to fit his voice, changed lyrics, and they were like, done.
Well, and they put a lot of performance thought into it.
They did. They really,
which
really did.
It's really what makes it different.
Yeah. Even this girl, Dara, she, on her Instagram or social media somewhere, she did a cover of Kai's Rover. So.
Yeah, because now people now know what Rover is.
Yeah.
I hope that the Dara girl is getting some royalties or something.
I mean,
I'm sure they negotiated something. Like, there's no way they would just give it away for nothing. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they just sold the song or they sold royalties, right?
They sold licensing. So even in the credits of the song for Kai, like she and the people who worked on the original song are credited in Kai's version. Plus, like, Kai's producer and writer and whoever. So she's getting a lot of publicity around this.
Yeah.
With all due respect, do we know if this is her peak? You know, I would probably say...
Yes.
It's highly likely.
Yeah.
Well, global peak, fandom? At least.
Yeah.
Why else would you sell your song?
This is a good decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great decision.
Now people are talking about this artist from Bulgaria.
I know, random and so great. So in Kai's promotions for this song, he, now that EXO is like finally back from the military,
all of them
for the time being, you know, before Kai and Sehun have to go, they are helping Kai out with his Rover promotions. And
well, Dio is not.
I mean, he's like attending.
He's sitting there. He's attending.
He's present.
He's present. That's true.
He's present. So one video series that they did is called Kai's Debut Evaluation Meeting, where all of EXO are sitting at the head of a table and Kai is pretending to be like a trainee wanting to debut. And so they make him do like all of these things, like, they tell him part of being an idol nowadays is to learn how to do trendy ending fairy poses. So you gotta do this. And they just make him do silly things. Like they really pull things out of their ass and then just make him do it for the lulz.
Oh my gosh.
It's a two-part series.
It's really funny. It's good.
It's so funny. And I love how they... Firstly, I love that EXO is back together. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, happy Easter, you know, thank you for this content. And I love how you could tell EXO, there's like maybe two members that talk a lot, Baekhyun and Chanyeol.
Of course.
And they specifically like to pick on three members, Dio, Schumann, and Suho. And it's just them like clowning on him so hard. Like Dio, you know, he doesn't want to be there, but he's reading the script anyway. And when he's reading the script, he's like, what camera do I look at? Okay. And then he looks at the camera and he goes, hello, like we are here to evaluate Kai. And Baekhyun looks over at him and he's like, this isn't a newscast. Like, what are you, why are you so boring?
Yeah, that's just how he is.
What prompted me to watch that video series is this Instagram video that I saw where the caption was like, tell me you're shading SM without shading SM or something.
Right.
And at the end of the series, they're telling Kai, like, you're almost ready to debut, but these are the terms of the contract as a debuted idol. And they're like, we don't, like, they go through all these tests throughout the series and they're like, they decide, like, you don't have like a really funny personality, so we don't want you to do interviews or go on variety shows, but you're a really good dancer and you're really handsome, so you should just only sing and dance. And then Kai looks at him and he's like, this is Suho. He looks at Suho and he's like, so you want me to hide my personality and only sing and dance like a machine? And they're like, yes, that's exactly what we want you to do. And then they're like, to debut with us, we require 40% of your income. And they're all like laughing. All the members are laughing because this is probably what they experienced when they were first like debuted members. They were like, we need 40% of your income, 15% of your total sales. And Kai looks at them and he's like, so you want almost 50% of my income? And they were like, yes. And he goes, you're just using my dreams to threaten me. And Chanyeol says, do you not want to be a debuted member? And Kai says, yes, I do. Like 50%, that's all you need. Like, I want to debut. And it's just so funny because, like, we know damn well that that's what's going on in the background, you know?
That's what happens at the big companies. Right. They're getting you gigs.
Yeah. It's only nowadays that EXO, now that they're like a 10-year idol or whatever the fuck, they can re-sign and make their own deals, but like...
Well, they could say whatever they want.
They could shade SM and like SM can't do anything about it because they're a moneymaker.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but Ashley, who does your TikTok Rover Award go to?
Oh, I really, really like the Momo Kai version.
She's my winner too.
She's so good. And she does like way more than just the Rover part, you know?
She's
a dancer. She's my winner.
He's a dancer.
That one went wild because it was like the two main dancers of like two main groups too.
Yeah. So good.
I now am interested in the song. You know, this one is really interesting. It reminds me of, yes, Ashley, I think it's a sleeper hit. And it reminds me of Hyo's Dessert.
Oh!
Because that thing was not good.
It was not.
Then 2 or 3 weeks later,
it was really good.
It was real good.
You just needed Jaemin and Jeno to cover it, and then you're like, oh, bop. And that's
everyone
what happened with me.
Was covering it.
I was up until EXO did that promo series. I was like, this song sucks. And then I saw EXO, and I'm like, this is a bop
now. I've seen it everywhere for the last couple weeks.
Yeah,
and he won his first couple music shows ever as a solo, which was really nice to see. And It was good to see the EXO members promoting for him as well. And I thought it was maybe probably his last mini album before he goes.
Yeah, because he has to do EXO promotions and then he's probably
Right.
gonna head out.
Yeah. So I
Is
think this is.
he the same age as Taemin? No.
Yeah, they're like
Not.
childhood friends, but I think I can't remember who's older, but they're around the same age.
I know that Kai is 1994, I believe, which is the same age as J-Hope. So this is like
Okay, okay.
maximum time that
He
he
can
could
go.
stay out.
Yeah, Taemin is 93, so a little bit older.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's Kai's turn for
It
sure.
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what this song reminds me of, or thought I had, was that I feel like SM might have bought the rights to this at around the same time that Anti-Fragile was getting popular. And they both have like kind of a reggaeton influence, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they were making like a strategic market-based trends decision with this one.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I have a thought on like this buying the rights of these songs. Whoever is out there doing the research like really has a wide grasp or like really has to search out into the world for these things. Where did this even come from?
Right.
Is
Well,
my
if this is
question.
your full-time job and you're spending a full work week doing music research, like you're
It's
gonna find
true.
stuff, right?
It's so interesting how like someone's full-time job is to probably dig through archives of music.
Yeah.
There's like a
It's
music researcher.
Is that sign me up? I want to do it.
I know. What a gig.
Yeah. The only the la the thing that I'll say about this is about the reality or the series that they released, Ashley. I think, and I think I've been thinking about this for a while. People go on variety shows still, but over the last couple of years, probably like 2019 onward, I've really felt that the prominence of self-made YouTube series is have done so much better than idols guesting on like
Weekly
Weekly
Idol.
Idol. Yeah, Weekly Idol or something,
Yeah.
right? It's really about these self-made concept series that have done really well,
Yeah.
right? Like
Because you're only
Audition
watching.
Concept or I don't know, Chilling
Yeah.
in the Dream, you know, a
Yeah, you're
series like
only
that.
watching those variety shows because you want to see the idol. And so if you could get more content just focused on the idol, like.
Yeah, you get more time releasing your own YouTube series.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if you love the group, like it's so much easier to consume and it's not like very formulaic like Weekly Idol, you know? I don't want to see them sing the Otake song again. You know?
They do that every single time, though.
They do. They
Oh
do. I mean, I do like the random dance plays, I will say.
those are good.
Those are always
Yeah.
fun. But yeah, Otake can go. Okay, any other thoughts on Rover, Rover, Rover? Three times. Okay. All right, Gabe, you're up.
Okay, so here I am with another recommendation from IVE, and this one is their latest title track off of their very first full-length studio album, released just last night, actually. And it's called I Am. So, this latest song by IVE is, as I mentioned, the title track off their latest studio album. The album has 11 songs, 10 new songs, plus Kitsch, which came out a couple weeks ago. And this song, I Am, is the way I interpret it is it's kind of singing about like embracing their stardom, embracing kind of their rise to the top. there's a lot of kind of imagery in the music video where there's showing like airplanes and like there's a scene where they're at like an award show kind of thing. And then the lyrics also kind of reflect that as well. So it's basically signaling like IVE is taking off. And I think this captures, this video captures it really well. The song itself, I'd describe it as kind of like a mid-tempo, kind of like melancholy sort of pop song. It's still like upbeat, but it's definitely not like, it's not something that's like super like anthemic, really.
Like Love Dive.
Yeah. But it's still catchy and it has like a pretty standard like pop song chord progression, whatever. So I was reading some reviews online and they said that this song in particular, I Am, is a lot more kind of vocal performance oriented than their previous tracks. And there's, when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, there's a lot of high notes in this song.
Lots of vocals, very strong.
A lot of vocals. Yeah, I mean, the song overall has been doing really well. The album has sold over 600,000 copies in the first day.
Wow. Alone.
Yeah. And that's, I think, After Like, the mini album, or the single album for After Like, sold like 900K. So they're already probably going to go way past.
Oh, for sure. And then, like a first full length, too.
Yeah, yeah. What else? I really liked the kind of, so there were mixed reviews from some people. So some of my other Discord friends that I was talking to last night, they were saying that this song was boring to them. But I mean, you know, sometimes you just need like a boring pop song that's good. And that's kind of what this gave me. So I really enjoyed it.
I like what you said in the group chat about this song. That was, it was basic pop and we need that.
Or yeah, no, sometimes we need that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. When you said that in our group chat, it really got me thinking because I was one of the people that upon first listen, I was like, this is plain. Because every IVE title track up until this point, like there's an instant reaction to it, you know, like instant bop or instant flop. Like there isn't just like a okay type of song. And so I thought it was plain. And then when you said, sometimes we need a plain song and that's okay. Like, I thought back to why I liked IVE in the first place. And they've just been releasing like
solid pop hits.
Like classic K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what this is. You know, it's just like good K-pop.
Like standard.
Standard K-pop.
Yeah.
Like neither amazing nor terrible. It's just standard K-pop. And that
is very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that it's produced well and everything, and like visuals are good. Yeah, and I was like, looking at the very first frame of the music video, it's a continuation sort of After Like, where they're on like a runway kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I really enjoyed their rich girl celebrity concept.
Yeah.
Like when they're in the plane and then suddenly they're standing on the wing of the plane doing choreo and then Wonyoung is like jumping out of the plane. I was like, what the fuck is she like skydiving right now?
My favorite scene was like, so Wonyoung jumps off the plane and she like flops like two or three times in the air looking like a rag doll. I was like, what is that?
This is like, it was so dumb, but also it was hilarious. Like, great.
Oh my god.
So yeah, so overall it seemed like people liked the song. I think I also agree. I really like the song, and they just have like a really superior place in K-pop right now, in my opinion. And I think the sky's the limit with them, at least for the rest of the year. But it also kind of made me think about, you know, when we're thinking about groups that have been like digital, like monster rookies, right? These girl groups, to follow up with that second like strong year is actually really hard.
Yeah.
Like we saw Aespa kind of like do that with Next Level and Savage. And then they kind of had like a not great year to follow up.
Right.
So it's not easy.
Right.
To back it up with hit after hit after hit. Mm-hmm. So I think they're trying to do that. And whether or not this is like a love dive or an after like, I feel like those levels are just not attainable again. It is hard.
I hope they attain them again. Their songs are bops.
It's not only bops though, those were high quality standard bops.
I know.
Which actually means that they weren't standard.
Yeah.
They were.
They transcended.
They transcended standard.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Anyways, any other last thoughts on IVE here?
I have one.
Yes.
I'm very glad that their album met expectations, specifically mine. It wasn't a Blackpink full-length album. It was a standard-ass full-length album. It doesn't have solos to fill up space. I haven't listened to it, but I'm sure there's a couple more bops in there that need to be discovered.
Yeah.
11 songs. Right? Yes, 11 yeah. songs. Mm-hmm. That's a whole bunch, especially for girls. So, you know, girl groups don't always get full-length albums. So this is big for them. So, all right. Thank you, Gabe, for that recommendation. I will go ahead and round us up here. And my recommendation this time around is going to be 50/50's Cupid. Another viral hit, I would say. Mm-hmm. It came out in February, so the end of February, February 26th. So they were actually hitting around that Valentine's Day time. But I feel like within the last 2 weeks, it's risen to new heights. And it actually has risen to new heights, and I'll discuss a little bit about the charting towards the end of the episode here. But I wanted to give a little bit of a background as to who 50/50 is. So 50/50 is a girl group made up of 5 members. The 5 members' names are Aran, Kina, Sena, and Seo. So the first reaction that I had was, wow, like this girl group's really small. Like 4 members these days is very small. Like 4 what? Members is really small.
I thought you
small.
Just said 5.
4.
Oh, okay.
4 members are really small, especially for a smaller entertainment company.
Right.
So they're created by Attract Entertainment and not ATTRACT, ATTRAKT. I don't know why.
Oh,
But yeah, the last time, and you know, I can't think of every universe of cases, right, off the top of my head, but the last time, like a quote-unquote smaller entertainment company, but this is not even a smaller entertainment company, right? Like Mamamoo's entertainment company wasn't small, but not large either.
Mm-hmm.
But they had 5 girls. It's 5 girls in Mamamoo, right? Is it 5 or 4?
It's 4.
4. Okay, so 4.
Yeah, there's 4 girls.
So it just made me think about, like, there's something similar between them in terms of size of the group and also size of the company.
Yeah,
right.
Because larger entertainment companies can afford to do smaller groups, I think, because it's more risky to do smaller groups. There's fewer members for people to pick biases from.
Oh,
right.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so like a lot of the groups have been large, like Twice, Girls' Generation, Le Sserafim,
Luna.
5 is like medium to large. Luna, WJSN. Okay, anyways. So 4 members. That's, you know, it stands out these days, I feel.
Yeah.
They're called 50-50 because they're, well, okay, here's the cheesy part, but actually I don't think it's a little bit clever. So 50% ideal and 50% reality. And then when it's all put together, they hope to be like 100 with the fans. I feel like that's the cheesy part. But
the 100 with the fans.
Yeah, the 100 part is kind of weird. But 50-50, like 50 reality, 50 ideal. Like, I think that's actually very insightful.
The fans part was not needed, though.
The fans part was not needed. But I did like the 50-50 part.
But they're always doing fan service.
It's always fan service. Yeah, they always got to link it back. Service. Yeah, they always got to link it back. Anyways, so the song itself is about love and disillusion. The girls kind of sing about their trouble finding love. They feel like they're fools to still believe that love exists. But at the end of the day, it's because of Cupid. It's like the god of love, right? That they insist on seeking and finding love. So there's like this tension there between, oh, like, why am I doing this versus why am I still seeking it?
Hopeless romantic.
Kind of, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so a song about love and disillusion, right? So there's some, you know, tension going on there. It's similar to releases that have done really well this year that have gone viral. Like XG that we talked about in the previous episode, or previous episodes. New Jeans, I would even argue. Like, this sounds a little bit OMG-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like A Pink, sort of.
Yeah, like, yeah. Soft pop.
Yeah.
Vibey pop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I almost also forgot to say that their fandom name is called... Does anyone know, or does anyone want to take a guess?
Are they called Hundreds?
Close.
Oh.
They're called Honeys.
Oh my gosh. That's really cute, cute though.
So there's something really good going on here. I've seen like a lot of different stories, like rags to riches kind of stories about how they're, you know, they're coming from really small groups and now they're like going viral, which is really great to see from smaller entertainment companies that just kind of like burst into the scene and like are releasing good music that people are enjoying. Yeah, I would feel like this is enjoyable pop.
Yes.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah, we definitely live in like a new time now, 2023. It's interesting to see like which girl groups pop off that aren't like the top tier girl groups. So yeah. I was thinking about how like XG and 50-50 are in a very similar position that Stacey and Weekly were in 2021 and 2020. So they kind of burst into the scene with like ASAP and After School.
Right.
Those songs went viral. Can't remember what year it was. I think 2021.
Yeah, I think it was 2021, yeah.
Yeah.
But, 2021, 2022, for sure.
Yeah, like sometime around that. Like not last year, but probably the year before that.
Yeah.
So they popped off, but those were bubblegum hits. Like those were K-pop hits. Like girl group, Aegyo K-pop.
Right.
After school, Weekly. Like those were all standard K-pop viral hits. And it's so interesting because now we've moved into, yeah, it's still a viral hit, but it sounds nothing like that anymore.
In terms
of what's getting viral, it's like vibey pop that is the trend right now.
So trends are so fleeting.
The Y2K pop, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say that this song, 50-50, XG, and New Jeans are all, they all sound similar because they're, it's that Y2K sound for me.
Yeah.
Agreed. So it's just interesting to see like what the trends kind of look like as we dive into this world a little bit more. And now we can do some like over time, like comparisons.
Longitudinal. Right.
Yeah, longitudinal analysis, which is really important. But yeah, the first thing that I thought about was Stacey and Weekly. because those were the two that were like not from huge companies, very unknown, and then like burst into the scene with like two viral hits, right? And they're not going to be, they're not songs of the year, right? But they are very well-known K-pop hits for the year.
Yes.
Right? So I feel like this is where this kind of goes into, like, overshadowed by OMG, but people are going to be, like, people are listening to this.
Yeah.
A lot. So the last thing that I'll say is it recently, this was, like, yesterday, I was taking a look at the charting of the song because there's been so many articles that have been written about 50/50 and Cupid now. When they first debuted on the Melon charts, the song Cupid was 889 on the Melon charts. Wow. And they've gone all the way up to number 90 as of yesterday.
Wow.
So there's a lot of longevity going on here too. Like I said, it's not like a top 10 hit, right? Right now on Melon, but I mean, top 100 songs, like that's the goal for everyone. And not a lot of people can say that they're on there, because the Korea Melon charts competes with all the ballads and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and they're number 10 on Bugs right now, which is really good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And the song, mind you, was released in February at the end. So we're now like more than a month after, which means that people are sustaining their listening, which is not what a lot of artists can do either.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there in Korea, and also internationally, it debuted on the top 10 of Spotify's daily top global songs, which was a really big accomplishment for them. So Spotify and then Billboard Hot 100. So there's something going on with this viral song, and I think that it's a bop. It's an earworm, so easy to listen to, like over and over and over again. So whether or not there's some kind of formula there, seems like it for the year 2023. Right place, right time, right audience, and
perfect.
Something happens, something magical happens.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about where I've seen it online, and I've actually seen it a lot, but not in the same way as like Ty's Rover, because the choreo for this is not like very memorable.
Right.
I have seen covers of it, but what I have seen more is people doing like everyday things. And then this is just like
BGM. In the background.
Yeah.
Like the vlogs.
Right. Like an aesthetic video of someone making a latte.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And this is the background video. I've seen that a lot.
100%. Morning routine.
Yes.
Sunday reset.
You know, I think it's because the production on this song is pretty minimal. So like it's not a super noisy song, which a lot of like K-pop has done today.
And it's not, and that is in right now. They also describe this genre song as minimalist pop.
I love that.
And it's very true. Like I feel like OMG is minimalist pop also, like, but in a really good way, like elevated minimalist, you know, kind of like how last year was all about elevated standard K-pop. I don't know, IVE, right? But I feel like this year, like, minimalist really stands out to me as something that is popular in the field, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Any other thoughts on this song? Okay, well, I would say stream Cupid, but I don't even stream it sometimes when I hear it. So,
I've been streaming it. I've had it on my playlist for over 3 weeks.
Same.
Gabe was the first one to listen to this song. He told us in Dallas.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got we as always, we get a lot of different things with K-pops, and we hope that you enjoyed at least one of them here. So thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode. We're on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of the major podcast directories and streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, feel free to email us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our content directory, idletalkpod.ubu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, including playlists, song recommendations, and concert and K-drama reviews. So it could be seen in the link in the episode here. And of course, we are on Spotify with video now. And we're also looking forward to engaging with you all in our poll question, which we will go ahead and ask there too. So leave us some comments and
what's our poll question this week?
What's
I it don't know. Be?
Well,
maybe we could ask about people's thoughts on purchasing rights to songs and then
that's a good one.
Reimagining them.
I also had a thought.
What's your thought?
What was it?
Do you
K-pop or K-flop?
Do you think Coca-Cola is Mashita?
Mashita. Yeah.
That's a good one too.
Like, is it a bop or is it a flop?
Okay, well, stay tuned for our poll question of the week. And we look forward to talking to you all on the next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
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 I'm Vivian Yoon. Listen to K-pop Dreaming from Elias Studios. I grew up in Koreatown in the 90s, and my friends and I could not get enough of K-pop.
Do you remember SES?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did the music that only Korean and Korean Americans listened to become a global cultural force? And what role did LA and Koreatown play in K-pop's rise? K-pop Dreaming. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.